Joining us right now is a guy that has some experience running for president and in the political world. A very successful run by almost all accounts is governor of Texas. We're happy to welcome back to the show Governor Rick Perry. Governor, welcome.
Brian, good to be with you. Thank you.
First off, I got to salute you. You, along with Rand Paul, are the only candidates that I can tell that have said, well, the black community is going to vote Democrat. I don't care about them. Or yeah, even if you care about them, I'm not going to focus on them. Why was it so important for you to make a plea for the black vote when only 1% will vote Republican?
Number one, I don't think that we should write them off, because I think the African-American vote, if given the clear issues that they face economically, educationally, and who's really performing for them. I mean, if we can get their attention and say, listen, just take a look at what we've done in some very substantial places. Texas is the 12th largest economy in the world. And over the 14 years that I had the privilege of being the governor there, we made some substantial changes in our economics, taxes, regulatory-wise, and particularly in our educational policies, where we went from 27th in the nation in high school graduation rates to second highest overall graduation rates in America. If you were African American, you're living in Texas, you're living in the state with the highest high school graduation rate in the country. I mean, that's a fascinating, you get to keep more of your money. Your per capita income is higher if you're African American than anywhere else in this country. So there's a real story to be told here, Brian, about not just African-Americans, but the same is true for Hispanic, Asian, for the minority populations in this country. There is a place where their lives have been better, their future is better, their children's future is better, and we can do that for this country. But you can't do it with one size fits all, we're smarter than everybody mentality that comes out of Washington, D.C., and that's what we see. You know, the first African-American president in the history of this country, and African-Americans are worse off today than they were when he took office. That's just, I mean, that's very objectionable to, from my perspective. And I don't think that's acceptable. We can do better. Mm-hmm. And reaching out both in a wise way and talking to them about here's the solutions to the challenges, and also speaking to them respectfully. There's an old teaching about having the mind of a serpent, i.e. being wise, and having the heart of a dove, i.e. being respectful. And no matter where you go in life, that will probably serve you rather well.
Why was it important for you to put out a YouTube video really responding to Donald Trump's challenge to you when he talked about you failed at border security and essentially mocked the fact that you took off the cowboy boots and put on the glasses?
Yeah, two things. Number one, I go back to that teaching about being wise with your mind. Don't just spew rhetoric. Don't just say, you know, we know how to deal with this issue of border security. Unfortunately, I remind people this is not a state responsibility. It's a federal government's responsibility. The federal government has failed and failed over multiple administrations to secure that border. We know how to secure the border. You put the personnel on the ground. You have the strategic fencing in the metropolitan areas. The aviation assets are really what we're missing from Tijuana to El Paso to Brownsville, with the technology to look down day and night 24/7 through all kinds of weather, see what activities are going on. If it's suspicious or clearly illegal, fast response teams, that will secure the border. The other side of this was that old adage about, you know, having the heart of a dove and being respectful. I don't think it does any of us any good to be disrespectful of people, and that's what Donald was. He was disrespectful of Mexicans, of Mexican-Americans. And we've had a president now for 6.5 years who has divided us by race, by gender, by economics. And we're better than that, Brian. And we don't, as a party, need to be engaged in that. So what I was trying to do was respectfully do two things. Number one, stand up for the state of Texas, who did a rather substantial and a very admirable job of securing that border. We had 74% decrease in our apprehensions in that part of the border when we surged our troops into that area. So the idea that, you know, I'm going to stand down while Texas is being dissed by Donald Trump is not, you know, I'm going to stand up for my state, and I'm going to stand up for the Texas Rangers, the Parks and Wildlife,
right,
our Texas National Guard. But I'm also going to share with him that it would be wise for us as a people to come together, to find the ways that we can work together. There are solutions to these challenges that we have,
right,
and to do it in a respectful tone and a respectful way.
If it is in fact true, the reports that Reince Priebus made a phone call and said, Donald, can you tone it down to help the party, do you welcome that, and do you think it's hurt the party the way Donald Trump has come out and directly went after illegal immigrants and illegal immigration and border security?
Listen, we got challenges in this country. The challenges, frankly, aren't at the Republican Party level, though. It's with an administration that is not doing its constitutional duty. You know, taking shots at the Republican Party, I don't think is particularly wise. Being disrespectful to any group of people out there, I don't think is particularly wise.
So you think he should tone it down?
As I said in my remarks, yeah. I think that you can be wise and come up with real solutions, and you can also be respectful. We should try that. We're better people than to be pulled down into this, you know, mudslinging and disrespectful type of tone and rhetoric.
We're talking with Governor Rick Perry, kind enough to give us some time, the former governor of Texas, who wants to be first get the Republican nomination and then be the next president of the United States. So when it comes to what's happening with this race, one thing is for sure, Governor, a lot of people can give you advice, but there's nobody alive today in American history that can say, I know how to win a 16-person race. How the heck do you stand out with the best or the best resume with a race this big?
Yeah, there's no doubt that there's some real talent out there that are people that I admire greatly, but nobody on that stage is going to have the resume that we have, whether it's wearing the uniform of this country as a pilot in the United States Air Force, 14 years of the most successful state, maybe in the history of this country. No one has that type of resume. The executive experience that I've had, whether it was the space shuttle falling out of the sky in East Texas, whether it's the multiple hurricanes dealing with Katrina and the massive amount of people that came from Louisiana, whether it was dealing with the crisis on the border last summer, whether it was Ebola showing up on the shores of this country in Dallas, Texas, and the state standing up and giving confidence that we had the competency to deal with that. No one in that field has that background. And I suggest to you, that's going to be my goal, is to be able to delineate the differences and to clearly say, listen, we've had 6.5 years of this young, inexperienced United States senator who has put us in a hole economically and done great damage to us in a global sense from the standpoint of our respect from whether it's our allies or it's our adversaries. That is a clear differentiation that I have with anybody that will be standing on that stage.
Everyone has unique skills. You certainly have a diverse one. When it comes to getting on that stage, and your numbers look like you'll be on that stage August 6th, Governor Perry, are you going to be a little bit nervous because the debates were your undoing last time, and they're going to be vital for you this time? What will be going through your mind?
I just look forward to being able to stand on that stage and project a very positive vision for this country. I'm not going to be nervous in the least a minute. I believe in my vision. I believe in this country. I believe that our best days are ahead of us. And that's what people are going to see projected out of me, is just a very positive, optimistic message about the future of this country and, frankly, the future of the world.
So right now, if you look at the numbers, you got Jeb Bush, Walker, Rubio, and Trump in and around there. When does Governor Perry make his move in the polls?
Well, I think everyone wants to see how we're going to perform in the debates. They remember back in 2011, 2012, and, you know, that was not a successful effort. We weren't healthy. We weren't prepared. And frankly, we've spent the last 3 years in both the preparation side of it, incredibly healthy, and I look forward to being on the stage. I can't wait for the 6th of August to get here.
Governor Rick Perry, can't thank you enough. I appreciate it. Former governor of Texas wants to get the nomination to be the next president of the United States. Thanks, Governor.
So long.